The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley@admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's November the 14th, 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County. Well, in agricultural news, Congress gears up to extend the 2002 Farm Bill, maybe. And avian flu continues to be a hot topic, even on Capitol Hill. I'll have details of these stories later in the half hour. And in our feature story for the day, we'll hear how farmers can use the FarmDoc website from the University of Illinois to prepare their visit to see the banker this winter. And don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat up a quarter of a cent at 311 and three quarters. The March contract at 328, down one quarter. December corn futures at $1.96 and three quarters, up one and a quarter. The March futures at 210 and three quarters, up a penny for the day. And the May futures at 218 and a half. We're up one and one half. December corn futures for next year at $2.45 a bushel, up one and three quarters. November soybeans, $5.90 and a quarter, down two and three quarters today. January futures settled at $5.95, down 6.5 cents. And the March soybeans at $6.01 were down 5.75. November beans at $6.16 were off 3.5 cents. December bean meal, $1.80.20. The settlement price there down $1.50. December bean oil at $22.51, down 23. November feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange up 75 cents, $1.15.80. The settlement price, December live cattle at $91.75 were up 65 cents. And December lean hogs at $63.35 were down 7.5 cents today.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Let's talk a little bit about what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade today and see if we can figure out where this market might be. Can you tell me what your assessment of the market was for the day?
Well, quite impressed with the corn's ability to follow through with Friday's reversal up. Also, too, starting to kick in the seasonal tendency to sort of work higher into the first part of December. Corn shipments were fairly good. We shipped out 39 million bushels of corn on the weekly export inspections report. The trade was looking for 31 to 36 for the marketing year. We're about 2.8 million bushels above last year's pace. So corn shipments are on schedule here to sort of make an attempt to get up the USDA's export goal. However, on the other side of the equation, beans are sort of lagging. We only shipped out 20 million bushels of beans. The trade was looking for 21 to 29 million bushels. We're 66 million bushels below last year's goal, and we're expected to do 25 million more than a year ago. So the big question is bean shipments. Even though China's been in there buying beans under the radar, small lots here and there, and half our business is to China, we're still missing some other countries such as Europe to help pick up the slack here. So overall, starting out the week here, corn on the plus side, beans, disappointing sales, and also two beans had a good run there last week and due to correct here for a little bit.
You made an inference to the reversal up in the corn pit on Friday. Of course, we can talk about the technical side of this market. $2 is the benchmark that most would look at both technically and psychologically, that if corn could make it above that it would be a very good thing. Topped out today at $1.99.5 in the December contract. Do you think it can move through that $2 level this week?
I think it will. I think there's some shorts wanting to get out. Net long or net short position's not that big, but I would think that with covered positions, they'll want to move to the sidelines here, especially if we can stay firm here for a little bit. When you look at the movement from the fall low into winter, the smallest gain here has been 13 cents. So that happened in 92 and 2001. If that would hold true there, that could push the December corn up to 206, 207 going into expiration. So I think there's really no big reason to be short the front end up here. If one wants to be short, I think they'd be short the back end and sell the carry. So there could be some good short covering here as we go into first notice day. Everybody's worried about large deliveries of corn. Well, there's real no economic incentive to deliver a whole lot here and give up ownership this soon after harvest. I can see big deliveries later on in the marketing year, but with the carry in the marketplace, other than just putting the grain out for a few days, let somebody else pay storage and interest, I would think they'd want ownership and continue to hedge that corn and capture that carry, Todd.
We do need to talk a little bit about cash sales because December 31st is not very far away, and that means tax year will end, and there will be some that need to make sales of either corn or soybeans to get the books in proper order for Uncle Sam. Well, which do you suggest that they sell?
Well, I would say a little bit of both, actually, sort of split the middle there. As far as beans, as far as upside potential, it's going to hinge on South America, and it's going to be awful hard to get an extreme rally going until we see some weather concerns. But there's going to be a big move. It's going to be next summer. So as far as selling some, I would sell whatever you can sell to get your cash flow needs here by 1st of December. Then I would hold on what you can hold on to clearing the next summer, because if we're going to have a big rally, it's going to be after everybody gives up ownership here this winter, and it'll be on dry weather or rust beers next summer, Todd.
Yeah, eventually we'll stop harping on this fact, but the LDP now at 40 cents, and that's still a fairly large number given the track record across the United States over the previous years. Nothing above that, certainly, except during this season. Farmers should go ahead and take that or not if they haven't.
As long as they're willing to part company with cash grain here fairly soon. If you're going to hold it clear next summer, no. But yeah, if you're willing to part company with it fairly soon, if you're willing to maybe look at reinvesting some of that 40 cents into a put option to keep a floor under you, or if you're willing to take the LDP and sell the carry, I think those are all good money management strategies to look at. If you're going to take LDP and wait till February, I wouldn't do that. I think we could see pretty big LDPs in the middle of February again.
We talked a little bit about what the charts look like for the corn. Can you pull the bean charts up and tell me what that means to you for the day?
Well, basically, whether you call it a double or a triple topping through here, it's kind of heavy here at this 6-10 level basis stuff. March and January futures contract. If you count the overnight trade, we did post a reversal to the downside. So it continues to tell us, technically, that we're in a trading range, and we've probably tested the upper end of the range here today. And we'll probably find support back near the last week's low. So we need to see sales pick up or adverse weather to take out the upper end. But on the downside down there, I think China and some of these end users are going to be relatively good buyers to keep the bean market in a nice trading range.
And that puts the range from what on the high to the low?
Well, looking at the January futures up front, since November went off the board, you're talking 605, 610 on the upside, and it's 575 on the downside.
Okay, and then if you turn your attention to the Mercantile Exchange, what do you see there for the day?
Well, surprisingly, cattle continues to defy the law of gravity. How this market stays up here, boy, is beyond my belief. But overall, demand remains good. Ideas that we're going to continue to see cash cattle trade 91 cents. There was some optimism there late last week. We'd push on up to 92, 93 cents, but 91 is still a good price for these fats. The big thing is the Goldman roll, as the Goldman Sachs guys roll their positions into the deferred contracts there. Hogs, I think we're just going to go flatlined here for a minute. Probably most of the action is going to be in the belly complex. But as far as the hog market goes, we look for steady trade through this week. Next week's going to be a real mess with Thanksgiving. Not only demand concerns, but kill schedule concerns too.
Anything? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll finish.
Okay, anything? Yes, you are. Anything else to add before we let you go for the day?
No, that should be it. I continue to watch the dollar complex. The dollar continues to gain ground in through here. If the dollar index basis December futures moves above this 95 area, we're going to start seeing some of these longer-term guys question demand due to the strength of the dollar.
Kurt, thanks much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Futures. He's our Grainfield Marketing, rather. He is out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Monday afternoons.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Now, coming up in the next half hour of the Afternoon Magazine, Celeste Quinn will return, and she'll have a report from NPR on farm fraud. NPR's John Burnett reports on a small group of farmers who falsely claimed weather ruined their crops so they could collect insurance. That's coming up yet this afternoon on the Afternoon Magazine when it continues at about 2:35 today.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Taking a look at what happened in the weather forecast for today from our own Ed Kieser. He says tonight it'll be cloudy across the two-state region with occasional showers. The low will be 42. Winds out of the east at 8 to 16 miles an hour. Tomorrow mostly cloudy and turning windy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some thunderstorms may be severe, in fact, especially in central and southern sections. Highs will range from around 40 in far northwestern Illinois to around 70 in the far south. The extended forecast, Wednesday, windy and colder. In northern Indiana, cloudy, snow showers, and some lake-effect snow squalls in the far north. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the weather forecast for the agricultural growing areas around the globe.
In today's agricultural news, the agricultural committees in both the House and Senate have scheduled hearings this week on the subject of avian influenza. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte has asked witnesses to brief panel members on Wednesday on a number of issues relating to avian flu, including prevention, detection, and eradication. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss plans on Thursday to approach the issue by exploring the role of the United States agriculture industry in controlling and eradicating the disease. Meanwhile, Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service Administrator Ron DeHaven spoke to farm broadcasters last Friday in Kansas City. DeHaven says a key strategy in keeping the U.S. bird flu free is funding discovery efforts to high-risk nations.
We will not be able to adequately address what the next farm bill should look like until we have a clear picture of what the trade agreement is going to be. There very well may be a delay in writing that farm bill. There are some who are predicting that we will extend the current farm bill for a year. I'm not opposed at this point to that theory. I just don't know that now's the time to answer that question.
DeHaven says APHIS is working with the Interior Department to increase surveillance of wild birds migrating from Asia to Alaska. Well, Minnesota's Colin Peterson, that's the ranking Democrat on the House Ag Committee, reportedly has introduced legislation to extend the 2002 Farm Bill. And on Friday, Republican lawmakers participating in the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Newsmakers session in Kansas City would not rule out such an extension. In fact, Jerry Moran of Kansas, chairman of the House Ag Subcommittee on General Commodities and Risk Management, said writing a new farm bill would not be even possible until the details of any new trade agreement in the WTO are known. House Ag Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte, who participated in a newsmaker session by phone, said extending the 2002 Farm Bill could happen, but only if a new WTO deal was on the verge of completion in 2007.
If we were very close to some trade breakthrough as we got into 2007, then there might be an argument there for a short continuation of the agreement. But I think the pressures to go about the normal process of writing a new farm bill every 6 years, taking into account the desires of those who like the current farm bill and would like to see some or all of the programs in it extended, nonetheless would argue for keeping on schedule, and only if there was a great deal of uncertainty right in the time frame when we were writing the farm bill would I think it likely there'd be any kind of extension of the farm bill.
Senate Ag Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss included an extension of the 2002 Farm Bill in his budget reconciliation package. But Friday, Chambliss told farm broadcasters he'd only done so for the purpose of finding spending cuts and he said he viewed an actual extension of the 2002 Farm Bill as highly unlikely.
By extending it, we make sure that we've got a baseline there that we're going to be able to live with when we start talking about the budget. But I started talking about the next Farm Bill, but I don't think that's in the cards right now. We'll have to wait till 2007 and see, but I just don't think so right now.
Well, representatives of two major groups are split on the question of whether to extend the 2002 Farm Bill. The American Farm Bureau Federation Public Policy Director Mary Kay Thatcher said she didn't think extending the current Farm Bill was wise, at least not at this point.
We think this is the wrong time to talk about the extension of the Farm Bill, that the Doha round is still ongoing. The success that we've had there, you know, isn't what we had hoped it might be a month ago. I think it's very unlikely that come Doha in another month we'll be anywhere near where we would like to be. But, you know, we still have hopes that in early 2006 we can have a successful round. If that doesn't happen, then I think farm groups do have to sit back and say, do we want to extend this Farm Bill?
But Tom Bias, Vice President of Government Relations for the National Farmers Union, says now is exactly the right time to extend the 2002 bill.
I happen to believe that the best deal we can get as farmers and ranchers today is an extension of the current Farm Bill. The safety net is working. I think the Secretary's listening sessions are certainly documenting it. Farmer after farmer after farmer likes it. The problem is if we write a Farm Bill today or next year, my assessment is we're only going to go backwards.
The Newsmaker Sessions took place at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting's annual convention in Kansas City. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580 Urbana. Hey, don't forget to hit our website from time to time. There you'll find all kinds of things, including this program that you can listen to on demand on your computer. The address is www.willuiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. The crop production reports are usually there, all kinds of USDA figures and facts that you might be interested in, along with a list of when and where we'll be bringing our ag panels, like the next one, which is November the 16th. That's Wednesday evening at the Technology Center in Vincennes at Vincennes University. Mike Zuzulo, Clayton Pope, and Tim Young will be there. It's sponsored by the Agribusiness Department at Vincennes University, 7 o'clock at the Technology Center. That's this Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, by the way. Well, up next this winter, farmers around the nation will sit down with their bankers and ask for operating loans. They can go into the meeting better prepared thanks to some financial benchmarks on the University of Illinois Farm Doc website. The U of I's Farm Doc website is one of the best financial resources in the world for row crop farmers. It's a fair statement backed up by an enormous volume of accolades from users and industry peers. Farm Doc is a website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Some of the newest information on the site, under the financial section found to the left-hand side of the page, are the benchmarks farm producers can use to compare their operation to others around the state of Illinois. Dale Latz says the information is aggregated from the financial records supplied by those producers in the FBFM, or Farm Business, Farm Management, record-keeping program.
Each year about this time, part of the information we get that we do get from the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Association is a very good set of complete financial information, financial ratios, and so forth. And as producers are kind of wrapping up harvest this time of year and starting to get the paperwork maybe together and thinking about going into the lender this fall or this winter and doing some analysis on the farm, one of the resources that we have available here at the university is a good set of financial ratios and characteristics from Illinois farms that producers can look at and kind of use as a benchmark to their operation.
Latz says the 2004 FBFM records have been compiled and are available for comparison on the FarmDoc website.
On the website will be a number of benchmark figures that producers can use, such as financial ratios like the current ratios, which looks at their liquidity position, operating efficiency ratios, such as interest as a percent of gross, farm returns, depreciation information, return on farm equity, and those type of figures. So If we're putting together a balance sheet here as we get into the wintertime and you're doing some of these ratio calculations and want some information to compare to, this would be an excellent resource to kind of look at.
The data is divided by size of farm and type of farm, along with tenure, or percent of ownership. Latz cautions producers to be sure to get the tenure figure right. The ratios for landowners and land renters can be very different. The farm financial benchmarks are available on the FarmDoc website in the finance section. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Then click the finance button on the left-hand side of the page. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in the next half hour of the Afternoon Magazine, Celeste Quinn will have a report from NPR on farm fraud. NPR's John Burnett reports on a small group of farmers who falsely claimed weather ruined their crops so they could collect insurance. That's coming up when the Afternoon Magazine continues.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market are the folks at the Andersons in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you today?
Oh, very good. Carolyn White on the line with us to tell us a little bit about what's been happening in the marketplace here in Champaign County and East Central Illinois. How's basis held up over the last week?
Pretty good. In fact, we have just improved our nearby corn basis here to 12 under for nearby corn. January is also 12 under the March. Basis seems to be hanging in there. I don't think there's really a whole lot of farmer movement. The futures market today was up a penny in corn, and beans ended up down about 6.5.
Was there much talk in your office after the release of the Thursday crop production report numbers and the World Agricultural and Supply and Demand estimates, and whether that really fundamentally changed things very much in the minds of the cash purchasers or not?
They seem to trade that for one day, which sometimes that is. I think typically our January S&D report is a little more significant. Soybeans, even though we have a bigger crop, I think the focus maybe is the South American folks with the financial problems that they're having, and if they have, problems that could be big as far as carry out and that go.
Sure. I made note as I was coming out of town, I live in Mahomet, that a 50-car train actually was moving out from your rail area, I think. My kids happen to count the cars, so they got it right. I assume that would belong to you. So train movement seems to be doing okay in our area?
Yes. I think we're decently pleased, I'll say.
Okay, good. And then what are your bids for the day, Carolyn?
Cash corn tonight, we are $1.85. January is $1.99. Soybeans, $5.80 for nearby, and January at $5.85.
Thanks much, Carolyn. We appreciate
it.
Carolyn White is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon right here on WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report. Well, in about 2 minutes, I'll take a look at the agriculture weather with the folks at the Chicago office of Chesapeake Energy. In just a moment, your local newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Vermilion County Board's Finance Committee meets in 2 hours to continue work on a budget and tax levy. During a meeting this past Saturday, the committee cut $650,000 from its spending plan, lowering a county property tax increase from 27% to 20%. The Vermilion County Board rejected the higher tax hike last week. We'll get a look at the new budget plan tomorrow night. Prosecutors in former Illinois Governor George Ryan's corruption trial are resisting a request from defense attorneys to tell the jury that Ryan isn't footing his own legal bills. Defense attorney Dan Webb told the judge that he doesn't want the jury thinking Ryan is wealthy because he's being represented by one of the city's biggest law firms. Webb says his firm is footing the bill for Ryan's legal fees. But lead prosecutor Patrick Collins says the issue hasn't come up at trial so far, and there's no reason to introduce it now. Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn visited the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus today to formally announce a $2 million grant for a campus wind turbine project. The funding from the Illinois Clean Energy Community Foundation, along with money from a student clean energy fee, will pay for the project. The three wind turbines will be placed on the U of I's South Farms by 2007. Indiana State Police are questioning an 18-year-old man wanted for kidnapping a 14-year-old girl and killing her parents in Pennsylvania. David Ludwig and the girl were caught after the car Ludwig was driving crashed into a tree about 20 miles east of Indianapolis. The girl, believed to be Ludwig's girlfriend, was unharmed. A Chicago native and pioneer in human genome research has died. Theodore Thomas Puck died in Denver 8 days ago of complications from a fall and a broken hip. Puck, a University of Chicago alumnus, is credited with helping to identify the genes that cause various diseases, including Alzheimer's. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to The Information Advantage. This is WILL Urbana. It's a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We're joined now by meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's a lot colder today than it has been in the past week and a half here in central Illinois, 47 degrees outside. Can we continue to see those kinds of temperatures over the next week?
Over the next week's time frame, looks like temperatures are going to average out to be a touch below normal, not only in central Illinois, but across much of the Midwest. Bottom line is that we're getting into a much more stormy environment. Obviously, we've seen some of that over the past week with the storm systems and subsequent severe weather. But that pattern, which really developed over the past week, looks to continue. But I guess the one different thing, though, coming up is just going to be the temperatures, just kind of bias a little bit more on the cooler side of normal, but still nothing extremely cold at this time of year, at least expected here in the nation's midsection.
You mentioned stormy weather. Will we have weather that rivals what Indiana saw a couple of weeks ago, and the weather that Iowa saw, I think, last night or the night before with tornadoes and all sorts of things?
Yeah, everyone must be aware as we go through tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a situation that's ripe again for a significant round of severe weather across much of the Midwest with this strong middle-latitude cyclone here that's going to be, well, that now is developing in the northern plains and will be tracking and actually strengthening across the Great Lakes. And so with that, we're going to see lots of thunderstorms tomorrow, many likely on the severe side. And then following that, once again, another round of very windy conditions, just similar to what we saw Saturday night and on into Sunday across much of Illinois.
And the highest likelihood for where those storms might track?
Well, it looks like your most likely area of severe weather is from Illinois eastward, especially right now. Actually, there is a moderate risk of severe weather from the Storm Prediction Center across much of central southern Illinois, much of Indiana. Basically, your central and eastern Midwest is the area at risk.
And then if you turn your attention from that to South America, and tell us about the planting season and how they're doing with moisture levels.
Yeah, overall soil moisture levels are in good shape across much of Brazil, and so Brazil really is starting off their new planting season in pretty good conditions. You know, we did have some dryness back a couple weeks ago across northern Brazil, but that has been solved with wetness of late, and Brazil overall is in really good shape. Argentina has had some dryness concerns, but it looks like from a pattern standpoint, that dryness will be decreasing as we go through the next week to 10 days as a much more active pattern develops across central Argentina. So for South America as a whole, with corn planting going on across Argentina and soybean planting going on across both Brazil and Argentina, looks like overall it's a either very good conditions at this time or certainly improving conditions as we approach December 1st.
Thanks much for joining us today.
Okay, thank you very much, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, and the weather right there on the web. Just go to WILL.UIUC.EDU, click on AM, and then agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great afternoon.